Hello and welcome to the 17th Manx Footy Pod of the 2018-19 season. Today, myself and Dave.
Hi, everyone.
Are joined by Colby Drew, Ashley Blake, and Ewan Convig. Welcome, chaps, to Podcast HQ. Thanks for coming in and joining us for the first time. I've just said fresh meat, Dave, isn't it?
It is, yes. Good to see new faces here.
Yeah, hopefully you've seen behind the curtain isn't as off-putting as it is for some others. I don't know if you listen regularly, lads.
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
We have, of course, always kick off with a biscuit review. We've, of course, got to go into discuss Colby's season so far, as well as look ahead to Saturday's FPA. FPI, it's easy for me to say. French Provident International, so probably should have gone for the whole thing.
Yeah, keep the sponsors.
FA Cup tie with Foxtel, but we're going to kick off with biscuits as usual. Now, I've gone for Bourbon Cream, lads. Are you a fan, Ewan?
I am, actually. They are very, very underrated.
Yeah, 65 pence as well. Yeah, there you go. Ash, you have one?
Yeah, I'm on.
Growing lad, aren't you?
Yeah.
Dave, you like...
I'll finish the back off later.
Okay. Yeah. You're not a fan of a Bourbon?
Oh, I do like them. Yeah, once I get started, I won't stop. They're a bit like custard creams. So.
Well, funnily enough, these are Crawfords.
Same as.
The same that made the custard creams.
That's it.
You know, every day's a school day, isn't it? Both retailing for 65 pence at the moment.
Which shop was this?
It'd be interesting to see if they go up after Brexit.
Of course, yes.
Might have to stop stockpiling the biscuits in preparation.
Yeah, we won't be the only ones, though, will we?
Right, we've had enough, but... Sorry, Dave.
It's all right. I should really be talking while you're eating the biscuit.
Enough for the biscuits.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the FA Cup. It's FA Cup weekend here in the Isle of Man. It's the last 16, isn't it? Is that my maths
correct?
We think
so, yeah. We're not really paying attention, so...
We'll look ahead to the other ties a little bit later on, but Ashley, you've been paired with Foxtel on Saturday in what looks like a corker of a tie at the Station Fields. You only played each other a couple of weeks ago in the league, and that was 3-2, wasn't it? So this one should be close, shouldn't it?
Yeah, well, I was on the sideline watching. Obviously, my ban was in, so... I've got to see what it was like, and it's going to be alright to play in this time. I think it wasn't much of a game to watch, really. It was a bit end to end, but I think this week as well, we've got female players back, so hopefully, if they got the same side out again, we'll be even better and try to keep a clean sheet as well. So
Foxtel have been up there. Well, they're thereabouts all season, aren't they? They're going to be definitely in that top 4 or 5 mix.
Yeah, well, that result was a big setback for them, wasn't it? You know, a couple of weeks ago. So it's good for you guys to show that you can do it against the big guys in the league, despite what's been a slow start to the season, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's to say, because they come back obviously in December there, and they lost pretty much every game. I think not just before me and a few other lads come back into it, sort of thing, and they're. Everyone sort of thinks they're going to come and beat us 10-11-0 or whatever, but because we've got a bit of a team back now together, we're sort of mixing it up, messing everyone's seasons up really.
But you're definitely in a false position. As I said in the preview in today's Manx Independent, that you're in 11th at the moment, technically third bottom, but your current form puts you, I think, in the top four, which is shows you how you've turned it around in recent weeks.
I've just got the note here that the first 11 games of the season, you lost 8. Drew 1 and won 2 before you and Carl Hickey and those guys came back. Yeah. So it's been a great turnaround.
Yeah. So, Ewan, do you think, is this a welcome distraction this weekend? You know, obviously the league is sort of, you've not really got that much to play for the rest of the season. But in the cup, you know, you can maybe go on a bit of a trundle.
Yeah, it is to an extent. I think the Woods Cup a couple of weeks ago was probably the one we really wanted, the one we thought we might have a shot at. Obviously, if we get a top first division team in the next round, if we get through, then it's going to be a struggle. But yeah, we had a good cup run, three, 4 years ago, didn't we, where we got to the semi-final.
Yeah.
So, it is good. We enjoy it. It's a game of football, that's what we're here for.
Yeah.
It's another game.
Yeah. And you've obviously, does it help playing them so recently? Is there maybe things you can tweak because you've seen them quite...
Me personally, I wasn't there that day, so I'm not entirely sure. Sometimes it can be good, you know what you're up against. But with Manx football, you don't know exactly who you're going to be playing, who's away, who's in. You don't really know. It's just who turns up on the day, isn't it?
And Ash, they've come into this. Obviously, they won 9-1 at the weekend against Jims, which a little bit of a shock. Jims have usually kept it a bit tighter than that, so they're going to be their confidence will be high.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's it. I think the more of a threat sort of centre mid going forward, I think they're weak bitten at the back, so even though they're getting the goals as well, they're vulnerable at the back. So when they played down at Colby, I could see from the side that's where we should be aiming to get at them really on Saturday. So I'm sure they'll know as well after yeah. like three soft sort of goals and really so.
And then Jay Chatwood, I think if Foxdale's Instagram is to believe, he's wrapped up his 100th goal for the club of the weekend. It's, you know, how do you deal with a, you know, he's such a physical presence, but it's a quote, you know, the old bloody cliche. He's got a good touch for a big man as well, isn't he?
Yeah, so he wins everything in the air really, and even though he's so tall and stuff, he's hard to get the ball off because he seems to manage to stick yeah. to his foot every time he gets it. But so Kinney, I'm sure, will be yeah. playing back at the back, and we'll sort him out and make sure he doesn't have a chance of a second.
Play down
the
early marker with a cruncher.
Yeah, maybe.
He doesn't want to give away all this. No. So we talked about it already. You had a slow start to the campaign, as Dave just said with his stats. You can't really lie with that. But now, as I say, I looked at the current form table, and you're in that top four bracket. Has there been something that sparked this? Obviously, Adam Fretwell's come in and taken on the manager's role, but has there been anything in particular you can say, well, that's started working a treat?
Not particularly. It is the Fretty coming in. Got a few players together, like Andy Baker, Flash McIntosh coming in out of the Vets, been brilliant. It's just players like that have come in, Ash, Carl, and it's just added that bit more solid. All over the pitch, really.
Right.
And it's good. It's been good out there. Again, I was talking to some of the lads after that Foxdale game, and they were saying that the football, the way Freddie asked them to play, it's exactly what he asked them to do.
Right.
And it worked. So.
So is the feel good factor back within the squad now?
Yeah, a little bit. It's still not great. Not 100%. It's still good. Not 100%. With training, we're down to once a week. That's something Freddie decided. He wants everyone together once a week, as opposed to half on the Tuesday and half on a Thursday. Which, you know, kind of against really. I think everyone should be training twice a week. But you know, But it's been generally good especially compared to what it was, because we were in a bad place.
Yeah.
You talk about, you know, possible cup run now for the rest of the season, etc. But there's also, you've got one eye possibly on gaining a lot of momentum to take into next season now as well, like for a possible top four push or whatever next year, or is it too early to say?
I think I was looking at the league before. I think Mills there probably the target mid sort of. I don't think we're going to push the top five. I don't think I'm going to probably a bit too far ahead now as well. I think that's got to be our aim, is definitely get up to sort of, was it sixth? Mills is sixth, aren't
it? Yeah, it's very congested, you know, with it. Like, you're 2 points behind D&D, who are 3 places ahead of you, so it just shows you it's all bunched up together, isn't it? So, a couple of good results and you're right back up at the table. Mm-hmm. So.
But conversely, it's funny, isn't it? You guys will have an influence on that, who finishes in the top four, top two places. Yeah. We were talking about, we had the Foxdale lads in a couple of weeks ago, and you heard it, and we were saying the likes of yourself, Ash, and Air, and even D&D on their day, even Jim's, you know, I'm probably doing a disservice there, but there's four teams that, if they get their full team out, they can do some damage, can't they, against that top four team?
Yeah, because we've been in the first division a couple of seasons, so sort of we're out of the loop of who, we always knew, because we were in the division two for however many years since I started playing, so you know who the top five are always going to be, sort of, but I think because there's been a few teams up and down. When they come down from the first division, they lose all the players, and then, like you say, Jim's, where they were always up the top in Division 2, but now I don't really know. But like you say, everyone's sort of mixing it up, so there is a few in the bottom of the table that shouldn't be there, but for whatever reasons, they haven't got the players or whatever, some weeks that they lose these games. But the top four, I think, at the minute, it's sort of, they're probably doing the best out of the rest at the minute, aren't they?
You've got Ramsey and Onken, they're in the top six, sneak into that. It's actually quite nice from looking out, outward looking into it, that it's actually not going to be all done and dusted, you know.
Think the second division is going to go right down to the last game.
Yeah, and I think the same could be said about the Premier League and even the relegation spot, which is an unusual position for Manx football to be in. You played for a few seasons, and it's just, sometimes clubs switch off after February, don't they? If they go out of the cup at the first round or something like that, they struggle to motivate themselves, don't they?
Yeah.
But it's interesting. Would you say, well, we're going to talk about this a bit later, is there any teams that have stood out particularly for you this season? You think, they're maybe a cut above what you...
I think... I haven't played all the games, so it's hard to say. I haven't played against Pulley. But the ones we have played, the two Ramsey teams, I think, Youthy in particular, they would give us our toughest game. Ramsey, yeah, they would go beat us. We were matching them until Crofty got sent off. And then they came in and then we were down to 10 men and we were pushing and they hit a few on the break near the end. I think they're maybe a bit young, maybe. I think Youthy are probably, Pulley and Youthy are the two toughest games we've had.
Ash, obviously you've already sort of came back into the band, as it were, sort of half midway through the season. Who are the teams that have you played that have impressed you so far?
Yeah, well, I'd say we played Ramsey. That was my first game back, and I think we were leading, weren't we, 2-0 or something?
No, we were 1-0.
1-0. Well, we were leading, like, 1-1-all, whatever, and then, but, like, say we got a man sent off, but even before he got sent off, they were still, like, where, like for second division teams, like, doing well, but then... So I played Onken after that and Malou for 10 minutes or so.
It's a feisty clash.
Well, it's a derby, isn't it? It's got to be on. So, but say I've only played them three games, so I'm sort of not in the loop with it. So.
And was there any real motivation for you returning mid-season, or is it just...
well, I'll just say there's a few lads there that... Because I've played for Colby since under 8 or whatever, so there's, say, Kinney, Freddie, Marty, Crofty, Credge. There's a few like that I've played with all my playing career sort of thing. And then at the start of the season, there wasn't any lads down, really, and I thought, oh, I'm off sort of thing, because there's quite a lot of my mates play at Russian anyway, so I thought I'll go join them. And it was going well and stuff, and I've only come back, really, because I sort of felt bad. That they were struggling for players, like, so while just seeing the results speak to a few of the lads and thinking I've sort of left them in the shit, really, because and there was a few of us that left. So Freddie, I messaged him saying what's happening and stuff, and he just said, oh, it'd be great if you can come back, and he's getting a few more lads in. So I thought, well,
did you think you were signing on for him?
Well, he's meant to be paying my subs.
Well, I was going to say, it's like, actually, you're a beneficiary of this new transfer system we suddenly have now. Like, what do you think, it's working? Or is it encouraging people to, I'm not saying, because not in your instance, but jump ship if things are...
It's not really happened as much as I thought it would. I thought it would have to be more. And then Malou picked up a couple. We have, I don't know, many others that have actually utilised it.
Well, it's quite, because obviously we get the transfers through from Kevin at the FA. And there has been more than perhaps you'd think. You know, there's people, and you could sort of see some of the moves. Obviously, players that aren't getting a game, or as in Ash's case, are going to help a club out. You know, and it's usually been players that have been playing combination football, to be honest, isn't it? But there's been stuff like Luke Booth. I don't know if you guys know who played for Union Mills last season. He was, I think, he was second in the Silver.
Yeah, he's got 40 goals. I think he was.
We started the season at Mills, but he's signed for St Mary's in recent weeks, and he's come into their first team squad, hasn't he? And played a couple of games. Oh, he scored. I'm not going to take any thunder away from Combi Corner, but he scored 7 for the Combi the other week, didn't he, I think?
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, yeah.
But there's been a couple of players like that, haven't there? So I just wondered, as a player, is not really something has come across your radar, really?
No, I think you should really, once you're signing up, you sign up for the year. But circumstances change, people change, managers change, people be moved from the season, and people aren't getting a game. So yeah, it's in some ways it's good, but I think... Yeah, if you sign up for a club, then you're kind of there for the year, really.
And I think, Dave, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's December 31st,
yes.
That's it now, so there will be no other movement, as it were, towards the end of the season.
So you do have that second half of the season as a one squad.
Yeah, but I think there's been, I'm trying to think, it's probably, next week we could count them up, but I think there's been probably... Up to that December, there was maybe one or two a week.
Yeah, there's not many. We have, obviously, last week we heard the rumours that there was going to be a big signing of Malou with Johnny Holland, didn't we?
When he'd gone through, he played on Saturday, didn't
there
he?
There you go. So, yeah, but they do still go through after December, don't they? But,
It's always wondered, like St John's in that instance, have to sign the form, don't they? And obviously, an influential player like Johnny, things must have broken down, or maybe St John's is just playing it with a straight bat and saying, right, if you want to go, we don't want you, if you don't want to play for us, sort of thing. But I've always wondered, could clubs be a bit funny there and say, well, I'm not going to sign your form, especially for the, I suppose it would be subs would be the other thing. Players are leaving it's... without subs, that would be the main concern, wouldn't it?
Yes, you never know what Agent Rashid is doing in the background then, so what moves he's trying to pull off. Should we move on to the Twitter questions then? First one's in from the Gym's manager, Tony Sewell. He says, your first team of experienced players have turned things around for Colby at first and play some great football. Do you find there's a poor attitude to training or work ethic in Max football today in general and a lack of passion?
Interesting one.
I think it's an interesting one from a kid's perspective. I think there's possibly big problems in future in Manx football.
Right.
Kids are dropping out and they're not being, well, they're being replaced by old guys like me.
So you see, they're dropping, this key area, 16 to 18.
Yeah. I had an under-16s team at Colby last year, or the year before, I can't remember. Squad of about 18, 19, 20. There was loads of kids there, all love their football, always turn up. There's only about five of them probably still playing.
Right.
It's like Danny Lane, who's moved to Peel, Johnny Chung at Russian. And there's a couple of the lads stayed at Colby, Harry Walker.
Yeah.
You mentioned last week Elliot Mole.
Elliot Mole's Queen's come in, yeah. But there's basically three quarters of a squad.
Yeah.
Just gone.
And are they doing other sports?
I think a few of them are playing rugby. Yeah. A lot of them are playing. Sitting playing on FIFA, playing on their Xbox, and that's what they're doing.
Yeah. Listening to the podcast all day.
I think there's a big problem potentially on the horizon for Manx football unless something's been done.
Well, you've talked about it before, how Freddie's made the decision with your club to move it to one training session a week. Now, as you said, that's quite unusual in Manx football. Most still go for two, you know, don't they? I would say.
I think you might be surprised.
Really?
You know, I know Castletown are down to one a week.
Right. But do you think that reflects in this, what Tony's saying about maybe training and work ethic is not what it was?
Yeah, definitely. Going back, it's going to come up a bit later, when I look back to my time at Castletown, we'd have two full squads training twice a week. If you weren't training, you weren't playing.
Yeah.
Now, where most teams are begging players to play. These combi teams not fielding teams. St John's struggling to field teams. Castletown have pulled out. The Braddon issue.
Yeah.
This is all, I think, because of the lack of numbers.
Yeah. And Ash, do you think, you know, obviously you've been playing as a while as well now. Do you think it's changed? Have you noticed that?
I think because now I'm one of the older sort of, I mean 27, but they're more like the younger lads now. When I was growing up as the younger ones, it was always the older generation that would get you there to training, whereas now, I think you'll agree, it's mainly kids. At Colby's instance, mainly the kids there, well, like 17, 18-year-olds, compared to it's the older lads or middle, like mid-20s that can't be bothered training, so they just turn up for a game on a Saturday and like play, whereas I think it was an interest to go to training because everyone would be there and stuff. Yeah. Where when you haven't got many numbers, you think, oh, if it's raining outside, it's 7 at night, you think, oh, staying in, fires on or whatever. But it's definitely, you're not getting the numbers probably half than you were, say, 5 years ago at least. So,
do you think football, Manx football, has sort of lived, not off its reputation, but maybe if you look at a comparable area in the UK, and we see it all the time with. They're really struggling, and maybe we've got off a bit scot-free now, and perhaps this is what we can expect. Or do you think there is something we can be doing? You know,
I don't know. I don't actually know what the answer is. I tried to look at the kids that left and why they left and left the game completely. It's varying reasons. I think clubs need to be looking over their shoulders a little bit and be a bit worried about the future.
And do you think, obviously, clubs like Colby have always had a youth tradition, but there's also certain other clubs that haven't they? And are they the ones that are going to struggle, or do you think?
I think so. I think if Colby is struggling for numbers, and we've had kids since the year dot coming through, and big numbers of kids. Peel last year was struggling to field the combi at times, and they've had kids.
Yeah.
So if Peel and Colby are struggling, then the teams that haven't got a youth team. Yeah, I think they are the ones that maybe need to look over their shoulders.
Yeah. And what about this comment about lack of passion? Do you think, has that changed?
I think we'll ask Ash about that after his performance in the derby. I don't think there's a lack of passion. The guys that are there want to be there. I just think maybe there's sometimes a lack of commitment.
It's just everyone's got passion on Saturday. It's like on a Saturday, haven't they? Because they want to play, they want to win, and they want a game of footy. But see training, and I think just passion of that's probably gone. Because I don't know what other clubs are like, but depends what they're doing at training. But I think some lads just think, oh, it's only training, can't be bothered. So yeah, they're probably not as passionate about training and stuff. But I think on a Saturday it shows, doesn't it? Because most people put, like, even the team you're playing, everyone's putting their effort in, aren't they, and trying the hardest. But yeah, training wise definitely gone.
Speaking of hardest, the next question is from Tyler Marsden, a question for you, Jaron. Asked, who's the hardest person to manage when you were top gaffer at Colby?
How long have you got? I think it's got to be Andy Blake. Absolute nightmare. Always whinging, always moaning. If you didn't play him as a cam, that was him. Didn't want to know.
Bit of a diva, was he?
Diva. Always injured. Always niggles, injuries, moaning, whinging. So yeah, definitely bitty.
Any take on that, Ash? Would you agree?
Well. Yeah, well, my brother is a bit of a pain in the ass. If he kept his mouth shut, he would probably be in Russians first team. Got on with it, but yeah, he's always injured anyway. So should just retire, I think. He's only 25. But yeah.
Question for you, Ash, from Patrick Gandhi. He says, "Is his 50-yard hook off the tee when playing golf mirrored it anyway when he plays football?"
Yeah, seeing that, he's taking the mick out of my golf. Well, we play on a Sunday, mostly every Sunday down Portsmouth area, and me and him are known as the Hackers. Play all right, but one shot will go straight and one will go in the tennis court and into the sea there. So,
we've got another question about your golfing prowess a bit later on, haven't we? Yeah. Well, leave that under wraps for now.
Footballing legend Paul Hatton is another question for you, Jude. Does winning the Masters League and Cup double with Colby rate as one of your highlights in your footballing career? What does it compare to in your career to date?
I suppose you can probably link this to something Patty mentioned as well. The Masters League is great. I've loved every minute of it. It's such a great team that we play in. It's got a great attitude. It's got a winning mentality. We go 1-0 down and bang, we go up the other end and score. If we need a draw, we'll get a draw. If we need to win, we'll get a win. We get what we need to do. So the attitude of the team and the lads, and for the last 5 years I've been playing in there, it's been brilliant. Probably the thing comparable is the Castle Town back in 98-99, which Patty mentioned. I wasn't really a big part of that team though. For me, I was more of a combi player. I played about 9 or 10 games for the first team, so I never really felt part of that team. I wasn't a key member of that team. Whereas, the Vets has been great. So it's a hard question to answer, actually. I think the biggest team, I think, is actually when we kept Colby up 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That was probably our biggest achievement playing-wise. We finished 8th, 9th with 23 points. I think that was probably the
comfortably up.
Really. Yeah, yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah, we finished above Douglas Athletic, beat Ramsey last game of the season, went above them. Just a shame that last season we never really kicked on. We sort of suffered from a bit of second season syndrome, I think, and we never really kicked on and ultimately relegated.
Stuart, I was just asking about the Masters because it's very stop start, isn't it? Some teams are more into it than others.
Is it
what tweaks would you make to the competition to make it more viable? Because obviously there's an appetite for it, and everyone's sort of like ticking off some of them are ticking off the days till they're 35 so they can play in it. But
I don't know. There's a lot you could change.
Has the rule affecting where you can't play? Is it first team?
You can do that this year. It changed back this year, so you can play Saturday, Sunday.
Right.
Because that was a bit hit and miss. Because if your game was off on a Saturday, you play luck, then you can play on the Sunday or whatever.
Yeah.
This season's been really good. We've had some really. It's tightened up. There's been really close games this year. We've snuck past Governors. We were lucky against them 4-3. Mm. We we drew 3-3 last Sunday. We were 2-0 down and drew 3-3 with Laxey. I think the Royals game, first game, was close. So I think the league does look close, although we're top. I think Laxey can still push us. I think they've got a few games in hand.
And Peel were pretty much playing their first.
At one point, yeah, with Toff and Lacey and Don McGreevy and lads like that. So, yeah, they've been great games. There have been some really, really tough games in there.
Yeah,
just wait till Geordie's put there.
Seems to be swelling their ranks with it.
We've got a couple of youngsters coming through. Jim Collett is 35 now. He's played.
He's only 35.
He's played one game. Steve Lees. He's 35, he's not played yet though, unfortunately. But
I still know Steve reinvented himself as badminton player or something, hasn't he?
Oh, has he? I didn't know that.
Yeah, pretty sure. I've seen his names in the badminton results. So he'd probably tell me he was a badminton player before he was a footballer, but
Abby, are you going to aim for the Masters? You're not too far off eligible.
No, I know. Yeah, maybe this could be my footballing pinnacle.
That's it.
I haven't really played a pool. Well, I play seven aside every week, but not kicked a ball in anger since my days with St John's 14-16s when I was.
I think the
comeback's
on then.
The comeback could be on. Yeah, they probably still have my registration.
Probably, yeah.
I'll have to see, maybe get a Masters team out of St John. It's just interesting to get the Masters viewpoint, because it was at one point known as the League of the Fractures, wasn't it? Because it went through a hell of a spell with injuries.
When it first started, I think that was a little bit before my time. I came in after 2 or 3 years into it. From what the boys were saying, there was some bad tackles going in.
Maybe people are a little bit off the pace.
Yeah, stuff they used to be able to get to a little bit off. But to be honest, I've not really seen that many bad tackles. It's apart from when Justin Hawley's been playing, but that's on the right side of that. It's been great. Loved it.
Right, the next question is a very serious question from Will Miller, a podcast guest recently. Yeah.
Before we must interject with Miller, the bath bomb. Bath bomb king. Have you seen he's now started tagging us? Full back for Union Mills by day and bath bomb reviewer by night. It's all a bit odd, isn't it?
he's gathering quite a following now online.
But anyway, his question, it doesn't involve bath bombs.
No, it doesn't. Which chippy is the best on the island?
You're saying I think he thinks it's my brother here today because my brother's like, he'll go to a chippy before a game and stuff.
Oh really?
Like, just for his lunch and then at night, like when they're out.
That's a bit heavy.
Just come to training, eat chips, cheese and gravy before training.
Never reappear? No.
He didn't work hard enough in training for it to reappear, so it's fine. Yeah. He used to get cramped.
Good general question anyway though, lads. Have you got a favourite chippy?
When Luke's mum and dad had it down Port Air, and that was best chippy in the world, but it's still good now, but still stick with it. But
I think Bathurst Street chippy in Bathurst Street.
We've heard good things about that.
Yeah, that's my top one.
Fair play. Dave, are you our favourite chippy? How are the chippy needs of the Castletown populace?
I think the fish and chip company there, which is decent. But I grew up in Ogden, so Port Jack chippy was always a winner for me.
Yeah, you were seduced by the view, weren't you?
That's it, yeah.
Next question. I think we've touched on this already, but this is from Malou. He says, who do you think will get promoted from Division 2? Dewan?
I think Paulie will win it.
They're playing well at the moment.
Yeah.
Bringing Steedo back in.
Yeah.
He only got six goals last season.
He scores goals for fun. I think then it's going to be a big scrap between Malou and Youthy.
Right.
I think if Malou, they say about Johnny Holland, if he's playing, I don't know if Phil Knox,
he's signed on, hasn't he?
If he's playing, I don't know if them two playing week in, week out, I think Malou might scrape it. Youthy, if they can turn their draws into wins.
Yeah.
I know, I was looking at the league before, I didn't realise they drew six, have they?
I think, yeah, Youthy have had a bit of a wobble in recent weeks. But I think that's going to be a sort of characteristic of this season. You're going to go through a sticky patch.
Yeah.
All of them are. How they bounce out of that.
And it's a lot of it's what lucky fixtures come along. Do you play us when we've got a full team out or when we've got six missing? Yeah. You know, you could get lucky that week.
Ash, who do you think?
I've heard all good about Paul Rose, so I think by the sounds of it, they seem to be top team in the league at the minute. And then I'd probably go for Ramsey. I know they've got a couple of games in hand there.
Yeah.
And they're all a bunch of young lads, really. So I think they'll stick out to the end of the season. And
I don't think you'd be too far wrong with that.
Yeah, and they're coupled with the good experience of the likes of Andy Perry. Yeah, they've got a great team there.
Malou also asked, also, do you feel if Fretty had been in charge all season, do you reckon you would have been in the chance of this promotion battle?
I think looking at our results and who we've beaten Foxtel, we've beaten Malou, and they're up there, so yeah, why not? We should have been, but
should have.
Ashley, depends on the players, doesn't it? Like, because some weeks are struggling for sort of like, you know, first teamers type thing. So if we had a proper squad, didn't we, every week, yeah, definitely. But say, since I've been back, most weeks we're struggling, some weeks for a couple of lads. So I think if you're in a proper battle for promotion, you need good, solid, strong squad who can come in when you're missing players. But I don't think we have that.
Yeah, we're just quite on the edge. Once we're missing a couple, you know,
we sort of, yeah, we're struggling. But yeah, but not saying that we've got a good side, haven't we, really? But for promotion, I don't think.
Yeah, I think top four. I think we'd have been really pushing that top four.
Yeah,
promotion might have been just a bit. One step too far.
Next question's in, or two questions actually, from our podcast legend Agent Rashid. He says, Colby has all the facilities but struggle to attract the players. Why do you think that is?
June?
I think players are not necessarily attracted to facilities, and I think the managers need to be more of a personality than a coach, a salesman, so to speak. That's what you got to do. You got to sell it to the team to bring players in, to attract them. I don't think the actual facilities are the main driver for people.
That's a good point, I suppose. And it was something we've talked about before. Maybe we're a little spoilt with facilities over here. You know, so if Colby, again, and we'll talk about it, we put you somewhere in the northwest, everyone would be like, flipping heck. You know?
Yeah.
But you know, most clubs playing on Astros, you know, even the grass pitches are probably 10 times better than they are in the UK. So yeah, I suppose it's one of those things. You're almost a victim of your surroundings in a way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're lucky to the extent we can have training when we want on our own Astro. We don't have to pay £90 to hire a pitch on a Saturday. We look after our own pitches. But yeah, I think you just need the managers. People are more attracted to the manager as a personality than the facilities. And I think that's what drives players to go to certain clubs.
Do you agree with that, Ash?
Yeah, pretty much. It's just to say, I remember, because I was off footy for about 5 years when a bike crash smashed my leg up, and then I come back and we had moved ground. So I thought, going back, I got a new Astro and stuff, and they're expecting to see tons of new players and stuff, and it was the same lads that I left 5 years before, that sort of thing. And I thought, oh, maybe a load of Russian lads would go down, knowing they got Astro twice a week and stuff. But I think a few did, didn't they? And then quickly went back. I don't know why, but yeah, they're just sort of, don't know, like Kenny says, I don't think it's the facilities that people want to play for that club. It's just, it's handy if you have got the facilities, that club you want to play for.
Yeah.
The next question from Agent Rashid, it's for you, Ash. Given your iGolf successes, currently leading the longest drive comp, who do you think would win in the longest drive competition between Hattie, Andy, Dave and myself?
Rashid. Well, I think we should lay our golfing credentials on the line, Dave. You put the page together every week.
That's about as high as my golfing expertise.
I've played in my life, I think I've played 2 rounds of golf, and both were horrendous.
Yeah, same here. I've been up to the driving range about twice in my life as well, and that was horrendous.
So I think Rashid probably is any good football agent. He's probably pretty decent with a golf club, isn't he? Hattie, I can't imagine him. He made me hack around a few.
I can't imagine Hattie.
His brothers both played, don't they?
I think Hattie's
ever been, it struck me as a golfer.
No, not really.
So it's probably Rashid. Well, I saw that. Yeah, you should take it. Is it 302 yards?
It wasn't the best shot. So I think I'm going back for another go and make sure I win that phone.
It was one of the American courses, wasn't it?
It's Pebble Beach. I play golf. I don't really know much about like courses and stuff. So the lads I go with just we're going down, play that, and yeah, it's just a good laugh. We just go down for and it's always down to the longest drive. We play a few courses and stuff, and then it's like, right, let's get longest drive competition on. There's a phone you can win, iPhone X. So me and Titch, Patrick Gandhi, and Chad Will, we're always battling it out for who's going to be the biggest hitter. But same before, Titch is there's a big pond next to it, and that's where all his shots go. Same about my hook.
Anyone else from Colby decent at golf? Anyone else at the club?
Carl Hickey plays golf. He's better than me. I think he's handicap 8 or 9.
Wow!
So I don't think he gets out of bed on a Sunday to play. So he's just a summer player. But you play as well, don't you?
I'm terrible. As your brother keeps putting the video. Ollie plays.
Ollie plays.
Ollie plays a lot.
Always good. Me, you, Ollie, Carl, innit?
Yeah, pretty much.
Played a couple of times ago, haven't we?
Yeah.
Dustin Johnson lookalike with me got when he's got his hat on. Just doesn't hit it like
him. Well, we had the question in you alluded to before from Patty Quinney was about June. How does the 98-99 season at Town rank? Does it rank higher than anything you've achieved at Colby? Which is a very loaded question for Patty.
Very,
But I think we've addressed that. I mean, you said it was. You were saying you.
It was just a great time to be there, you know, being around that squad. Like Charlie Palmer, Alan McCullough. Chris Feeney, lads like that. It was just you want to go training, you want to go training, and you wanted to push yourselves. You're always pushing yourselves, even from a combi perspective. You're always looking over your shoulder at who's coming in, and you had to push yourself totally against what is going on now in men's football, where you know people are begging people to play combi.
Yeah, you turn up, and unfortunately, Castana combi doesn't exist anymore. Yeah.
You mentioned there about looking over your shoulder and stuff at players there. Eddie Callister, the final first question is in from Eddie Callister. I wants to ask you, Jürgen, if you feel the moment he joined Colby, Masters squad last season, spurred him on to improve your fitness. Granted, I never played, but just the prospect of me lurking in the shadows made this game.
Just the prospect of lurking in the shadows made me go out and try and get some better players. I was really scraping the barrel one week. We were short, literally, because it's AD. And asked him to play. I think he ended up decorating his bedroom because he's a bit under the thumb now. So he wasn't actually allowed out to play. That's why he didn't play. He was decorating. So he missed out on, I think that was the game that we won the league. So he missed out on his one chance of winning a medal in Footman's football.
He's not bitter then,
though. No.
Right, well, we've got you in. We'll look ahead to Saturday's fixtures. Starting off with the France Provident International, give it its full title. FA Cup first round. Are we still in the first round? We're not the second round.
This is the first round proper.
Just too many first rounds. We've talked about your game briefly, lads. Dave, we haven't really put our two Penethworth in for what it's worth. It's a hard one to call this. I'm not just saying that because you two are here, because it was only one goal in the league fixture. Do we think extra time?
I think extra time with this one, yeah.
So there you go, lads, an extra minute.
We won't extra time. I'll knock one on the back of my own net.
Here first. But yeah, no, I think extra time. Home advantage, possibly. You've got to keep Jay Chatwood quiet, I think. But extra time, Colby win.
Oh, there you go. He's been very diplomatic. And then it's obviously Foxtail. My old hometown club. So
you're still waiting for the trophy parade.
I'm still waiting for the trophy parade on the flatbed truck. So I don't know. Yeah, maybe penalties. I'm going to go Foxtail penalties.
Oof.
Have you been practicing penalty, lads? Can we... reveal that? No.
No, we
haven't. I don't think any of us hit the target anyway.
who takes the spots in the game?
Either Chris Mack or Freddie. Right. Taking them.
Responsibility on their shoulders.
That's it.
So I think it's gonna be a close one. So if you were at a loose end in the south, I'd go and watch that one on Saturday. Also in the south. we'll kick off. Just down the road at Russian. Big game, Russian versus Corinthians, two of the Premier League's current top five go head to head, Dave. I've said heavyweights, Premier League heavyweights,
we're sending our main man Hattie down there, aren't we?
The multimedia experience, we're coming live from quite loud. He seems to be doing in game clips now.
Fair play to him.
I don't know how he does it.
He's just a man of many talents.
Because, but I don't know if he's, he must be, has he paid a licence fee to the FA for those?
That man definitely needs a licence or something.
But yeah, Russian Corinthians, lads, big game. Russian obviously lost to Geordie's the other week. It was the first time he'd lost since November. Bounced back last week with a 3-0 win over Royal. But then Corinthians seems to be on a good roll at the moment.
Yeah, banging on the goals before, aren't they, at the moment? Ash, you obviously use close ties with Russian, so you'd be wanting a Spaniards win in this one, are you?
Yeah, they will. I think they're third, fourth in the league at the minute, are they?
They are fourth at the moment, yeah.
But yeah, I think they should be up there battling for the league, really, because the players they have and stuff, and yeah, train two hard sessions a week, like proper. Everyone's there, you know, they're all wanted as well. So I think that with the league sort of title gone, I'd say they'll probably want the FA Cup instead now. So
I think player availability is going to be the main thing, because yeah. You know, obviously we were able to bring in Dan Hattersley halfway through the season, which isn't too bad, is it? But the recent weeks they've been missing quite a few, haven't they?
Well, I watched them against Geordie's. They were missing Mike Williams, who I believe is still suspended at the FA's website, is to be believed. Steve Ryder didn't play that game, and either did Jack Saxon.
Yeah, so big players.
Steve was back last week. I saw that in the team sheet. I don't know what Jack's availability is, but Kenny, do you reckon Russian?
I can't go for a Russian win. I'm not sure why Corinthians haven't kicked on from last year.
Second year,
yeah, possibly. I thought last year there was a breakthrough year when won the Railway Cup.
They won the Canyon FA Cup.
Yeah, I thought this year they were just going to go on, and for whatever reason.
I don't know, but it does show you the sort of determination that Geordie's had and that will to win, to put such a domination together, you know, because as you say, everything looked in place, you know, they're the right age, good squad across the board, settled squad as well, they've been together a while, and it just hasn't kicked on this year.
I'm going to go Corinthians win on that.
I think I'm going to go with June on this one. I think Corinthians for me.
I think extra time, but I think Corinthians are legend.
They're predicting a lot of extra time. Did the refs get extra cash for that? elsewhere, now, another one of the Southern teams involved. Could be involved. We're predicting a cup set, possibly. Blackberry Laners, Old Boys, Top Flight Old Boys take on Division 2 Maloon. Old Boys were licking their wounds after a defeat against Castown last week, and it was quite comfortable for Castown in the end. Maloon will be well up for this, won't they, June?
Yeah, they will. Yeah, I think Old Boys lost them around the week before as well. Or 2 weeks ago.
They did.
I think you could be on to something there with an upset.
Yeah. Ash, do you think?
difficult to say.
I want Old Boys to win, but it depends what team Maloon got out. Because even though they're not the best footballers, when they want to win a game, they'll go out and try, like, you know, put the effort in for the win. So I think that might be too much for Old Boys. They'll want it more, Maloon. So
I'd say Old Boys were missing Martin King and James McStay last week, two big players, and as a result, the back three, I think, was what they were trying to play. Liam will probably correct me. Didn't perform at its optimum level. So if they're back, it will be a bit more of a tougher ask for Maloon. But you just think the seemingly the momentum's with them, isn't it, Dave?
I agree. Maloon's form is definitely better. They beat Ayr last week. Confidence isn't there. I have to say, I do personally doubt this game will go ahead, being at Blackberry Lane. We are meant to have some heavy rain tomorrow, so. Yeah, but if it does go ahead, I think Maloon can get a win here.
All Premier League affair at Glen Road as Laxey take on Douglas Athletic. Laxey toiling, of course, in the, what do they call it, the Premier League trapdoor at the moment. The Cup, you know, they beat Youth in the last round, which actually spurred them on to a few more encouraging performances in the league after that. I think they took the lead against Corinthians last week, didn't they?
Yeah, Mike Fernandez got an early goal. In the end, obviously, it was quite a big win for Corinthians, but they should take some heart from that first half performance.
Dafke, we should just point out, they've just racked up their best ever top flight points all, haven't they?
Yeah, they beat St John's last week, so they've now got up to 30 points. So they've done a great job there, and they've still got, 5 games off?
22 they play now.
Yeah, 3 games left to even better it. So, yeah, I think it's going to be tough for Laxey. This is certainly a game they could win, but I think the picks will be too strong.
Junior, when you're in that position at the bottom of the league, does the cup provide a bit of light relief?
Yeah, it does take the pressure off. You are under pressure when you're in the league and you're looking to try and get desperate for 3 points. So, yeah, cup.
So it's going to be a welcome distraction at times.
Young side as well, so you know they haven't really got anything to lose this Saturday, have they?
No, I think Lapsy may get something out of this and potential maybe another extra time for you.
Yeah, there you go. Eric said that one, so I hope he wraps up warm. Ash, do you think Douglas Athletic, they're one of the clubs that have just built steadily, haven't they, and are now firmly established in the Premier League, and they're probably going to finish in that top
seven.
With a cup run, you know, it's perhaps something they should be aiming for now, shouldn't it?
Well, because we were always battling with them, weren't we, for promotion and Division 2 when they first established themselves, type thing, and then they got promoted and then they were with us again for the first season. We both finished there together. But then obviously we've got worse and they've sort of stayed mid-table. And I played against them for Russian start of the season and they still had the same team out from 3-4 years ago. So I think they're sticking together. And like I say, they're not going to win the league. But I think, in cups, they can, something to go for, isn't it?
Especially on their own little pitch. They get balls up to Martin Cowan and they make things difficult for teams. So on their own pitch, they get a home draw, they can't do anything.
And Conor Dempsey's been one of these mid-season titans we talked about.
We played against Conor the week before. He moved and he was really quiet against Duncan. And then he's gone to Douglas Athletic and he's banging the goals.
Hatful since he's been
so he has got two last week against St John's. We should also mention, obviously, Matty Quirk got injured for the Isle of Man.
Yeah. Hip flexor, I believe.
Yeah. So
very, very in vogue this year.
Of course.
About the third or fourth person that's done a hip flexor.
Oh, good. But deputising for him in goal was none other than Mark Wolfenden.
The Wolf.
Wolfie kept a clean sheet, so I wonder.
Coach returned gamekeeper.
That's it. So it'll be interesting to see if he's back in goal.
Team of the week as well, just to cap off a week. So
not too bad, is it?
I bet he's going to hit a ball, so I bet his goal kicks were pretty
good. If his knees and his back are right, I think, yeah. If not, then rolling it out, I think.
St George's versus Douglas Royal. To me, Dave, only looks one winner in this one to me.
Yeah, agreed. Royal's revival stuttered a little bit in the last couple of weeks. They've had some tough games. At Geordie's, they're just going about their business. Kieran Nulty's back in form. So they'll be too strong, I think.
Lads, do you think home wins St George's?
Yeah, I think so. I think Royals are probably surpassing themselves a little bit, but they're getting better and better and better because they're a young team and they're getting better every week. So you never know, but I think Geordie's probably a bit too strong for them.
Ash?
Yeah, Geordie's.
Yeah. Also looks quite one-sided. Is there Peel's game of them around, Dave? That's... Peel obviously actually still on for the Grand Slam.
Yeah, they certainly are. I think with Moran, a bit like Royal, they had a good little run and they picked up some really vital wins, some big points. And then obviously last week they went up against Geordie's and came unstuck 8-2. So this will be another similar one. I think Peel at Douglas Road, they'll be too strong. So it should be quite a comfortable win.
Peel home win?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
St Mary's, Union Mills. Now, Union Mills have been one of those teams and probably put yourselves in that bracket that can pull a result after the day. They go to obviously the bowl this weekend to take on the top five title contenders. Is it a case of just trying to limit the scoreline? Or
I think so, yes. St Mary's on the bowl are a tough ass to try and beat them on the bowl. The ball, they just know what they're doing on there. They play some nice football. Al Harrison will be able to put. They've been playing really good football on there. I don't think Mills are getting here.
Yeah, Ash?
Yeah, I went down and watched Russian St Mary's a few weeks ago, down Russian, and I think it was a draw. And they were. You can see why they're up the top of the table, really. So I think play Union Mills, especially if they got Will at the back for Union Mills.
I'm sure there will be a bath bomb video after. Yeah.
Luke Booth might come back to Hornets former club as well. Yeah, he's in the first squad.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I'm trying to think of some positive for Mills. Obviously, it's a nice day out at the National Stadium, but I think it could be a tough afternoon for them. Elsewhere, the last remaining tie sees Paul Rose United versus Jims in an all Division 2 affair. We've talked about Paul Rose's prowess at the top of Division 2. This should be a win for them, and I hope potentially set them up with a Premier League team in the next round, which should be all about gauging where they're at, isn't it, Jim?
Yeah, I think Paul Rose have too much for Jims. We played Jims a few weeks ago, one nil down at half time, and the second half we were just a lot fitter than them, and their fitness just really showed. And yes, I think Paulie will turn them over.
Yeah, there's also three Division 2 games on Saturday, isn't there, Dave?
There is.
Cheeky little rearrange games. I was going to say, I've started off with this one, Ayr United versus Douglas District, because I reckon this will be the closest, probably, of the day.
I agree. The other two do look fairly one-sided. Could be quite close. We've mentioned it in recent weeks, they've signed some good players. They're really playing catch-up. They've only played 13 games this season, so they'll be keen to build up some momentum. Mm. This will give them a good test. D&D, yeah, they're flying high. They've had a good year, so I think this one will be close. I wouldn't be surprised if it ended in a draw.
Draw. I think that... I don't know. Ayr gave Malou a good game last week, and I think they had a man sent off, didn't they? So I'm going to go with the home win. But again, it's all about selection, who's available. You know, they've got George Rawlinson back, they've got Christian Penswick back, exactly. They've got Elliot Curran still there, Jamie Callister. They were all part of their Premier League team, wasn't it? So if they can all play, I think it could be an Ayr win. Lads, and obviously you've played both of these teams, or are they in the same division, do you think?
Yeah, I think with the players you've mentioned there, probably just a little bit better than Douglas and District.
Ash? Yeah, I think a draw would be good for us, wouldn't it? Bump us up the table, yeah. A couple of spaces.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it ended that, because say Rick Delaney's got Douglas and District playing well, hasn't he?
So, he certainly has, yeah.
And then Daniel Clegg-Stewart, he scored another 4 goals last week, didn't he? Stuart Clegg, I always get it the wrong way around, and probably get chastised by Dave Matheson for that. But
you don't want to do that, it's a comfortable lot.
Stuart Clegg scored 4 last week. He must be up there in the scoring charts.
Yes, he's doing well. I mean, he's not going to catch Mark Priestnell, I wouldn't have thought. But Steve Priestnell's obviously making a bit of a charge for the silver boot. So, yeah, but Clegg Stewart's had a great season.
Mm. Stuart Clegg, isn't it? Have I got it wrong?
Well, you put Daniel Clegg Stewart in the scoring.
Well, have I done the headline? Stuart Clegg.
It's one of them's wrong. One of them's right.
I've covered all bases.
Yeah, it's called D&D legend.
I'm sure Dave Matheson will correct this after this podcast. Elsewhere, Michael United versus Ramsey. We've talked about Ramsey. They should be up there at the end of the season. Michael toiling a little bit, the second bottom in the league. Like you pointed out, they won that division about 10 years ago, 12 years ago.
So it's been a tough season for Michael, hasn't it?
Yeah. So, but Bellera Road, Stuart, it's not the nicest place to play on it.
It's not. No,
a winter's day, is it?
No, and the wind's coming off the sea, and you've got your sloping pitch, and we won the Combi League there a few years ago, and it was you couldn't get out of your own half because the ball just wouldn't go. couldn't get out of your own half. So, yeah. But yeah, I think Ramsey should win that quite comfortably.
Yeah, Ramsey will smash it.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And I think with Foxdale not playing, it gives Ramsey a good chance to overhaul them, get moving to the top four, so they'll have that added incentive.
Final game in JCK Division 2 this weekend. We should point out the league games all kick off at 2:30. The cup games 1:45, unless you're going to the bowl, because that's 2:30, because of course they have the added advantage of floodlights.
Absolutely.
Is Youthy taking on Governors Athletic at School Rigori? Youthy have had a bit of a wobble, but yeah, they're still well placed within that top four, aren't they?
Yeah, and they only need a point from this game to overhaul Malou and go back into the promotion spots. Granted, they will have played 2 games more by the end of Saturday, but yeah. Governors, it's a tough all season for them, and last week they lost 17-0 to Pulley, yep. So I'm expecting another fairly big scoreline this weekend, but you never know.
How do you get that out of your system? You know,
you lost 17-0 before, have you?
I'm trying to think.
At Castletown?
Yeah, maybe Malou. it's a tough question.
Is it a case of just going back into the training that week and say, right, we don't even talk about it, you know, it's done, we just move on, think about the next game?
Yeah.
Or is that easier said than done?
I think it's a lot easier said than done. You've got to go into the week, work on what you can do better in the week and hope.
Yeah, but Ash, it looks, well, you know, if you were this, we had our Manx football coupon, the mythical creature, it would be a home win, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I played Governors of the Week, and they've got a couple of good players in there, but I think we put 8 past them. So,
well, the stats don't lie. Their goal difference currently is -101.
Yeah, even I scored past them, so you know,
that kind of says everything.
Doesn't make encouraging reading.
It certainly doesn't, I'm afraid.
Right, Dave, Comedy Corner.
Right, we've bigged it up in recent weeks.
Comedy Corner, big it up every week.
No. St. Mary's title hopes. Their title celebrations have been put on hold for the time being.
Comedy one, which is quite
yes,
isn't it?
So it looked like the Saints...
I put it on ice, that's the cliche. I put on ice on...
Yeah, plenty of ice lately, so yeah. It looked like the Saints had clinched the Copy One title with their 7-1 win over Bradon last Saturday, but it seems the FA are investigating whether or not they fielded an ineligible player at some point. So, basically, watch this space.
And watch full time, because an asterisk appears after their name. But it's only delaying the inevitable, isn't it?
It is. I can't see past them getting that
title. How many more games have they got left to play? Obviously, they're in a 22 team.
Yeah, they've only got 3 games left, so it's all but.
Yeah, all but.
So just a quick question of, if they get deducted like 10 points, it might just give Peel a shout, but even then. So, with Peel not playing, Corinthians have moved level on points with them into second, thanks to a 4-2 win at Laxey, courtesy of braces from Ian Drake and Kane Ridings. Fourth place St George's were also in good scoring form, as they beat them around 6-1, led by Tom Chattel's hat-trick. While Kyle Lund scored twice to help Rushen win 4-2 at Royal. Elsewhere, Combi 2. Oncon are now just within a couple of good results of the Combi 2 title. They edged past Union Mills in a 7-goal thrill at the Nivison. The O's now just need a handful more points to be grand champions. D&D remain their nearest challengers after the Nobles Park outfit continued their excellent run of form. Thanks for Dave Matheson for the stat on Twitter. Mark Quirk's 4-goal haul took him to 18 goals in just 9 Combi games this season, and he's well on course to beat Rick Radcliffe's Combi record of 20 from last year. His haul helped D&D beat Michael 4-1 to make it 8 wins in 9 games, so they are really flying.
One team in the island.
That's it. Much like the first team, Colby's form of late has improved, and they thrashed UT 4-0. Thanks
good
largely.
Result.
Yeah,
thank Colby two champions, didn't they, last year?
Absolutely. Thanks largely to Jordan Edger's hat-trick. And another hat-trick hero was Pete Callow, whose treble ensured Jim's got the better of Foxdale 4-2 and Tramode, while Jordan Greitner went one better with 4 goals from Malou as the Southerners triumphed 5-3 over Ayr United. And the final game, Ross Deacon, Paul Kelch and an own goal helped Pulley beat Governors 3-1.
Yeah, it was a bit closer than we expected that one. Or Pulley, they're not as strong in the combination.
They're still decent in the combi, but they're in mid-table. Mm-hmm. I think the squad, the strength and depth would see them through there, but fair play to Governors for keeping it close.
There you go. Dave reads the weather. These lads are gagging to hear what the forecast is for the weekend.
Not as much as you, mate. Now, it's your favourite time. Yep. There's a yellow weather warning in place.
You're joking me.
Yeah, until Saturday.
That's my second favourite colour of...
What's your favourite?
Amber.
What about red?
No, it's too much.
That.
Oh, okay. That's like danger.
Danger to the life. Yeah. We don't want that. The island's expecting strong gale force winds, which may cause some minor damage. Friday will start with heavy rain, but Saturday should be fairly bright and the rain should ease. But I think there'll be quite a bit of damage done to the pitches by then.
So postponements.
I'm gonna go with.
You've been horrendously bad at predicting these last couple of weeks. You said 15% last week.
I'm gonna go for 50 this week.
Half games are off this week.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. You heard it here first, lads. You know, Dr. Doom over here. Right, before we go, just a bit of any other business. Liam Doyle began his pre-season with Nashville. They took on Montreal Impact, I believe, MLS, in the pre-season down in Florida, I think, or somewhere warm anyway.
Yeah.
He played the first half against the MLS side, and I think they eventually lost 2-0. So good start to the season for Liam. Adam Long?
Yes, obviously his Wigan side are flying well. They got past Accrington Stanley in the last round of the FA Youth Cup, didn't they? So they're now going to go face Liverpool in the next round, next Tuesday, next Wednesday, at Chester's Diva Stadium. So that'll be a good one to watch.
So that's, is that next Wednesday?
Wednesday, we think, yes.
Yeah, so I'm sure there'll be a whole manner of social media updates on that. Adam actually played for, not called reserve teams anymore,
development
teams, and they beat Notts County in the week, so well, fingers crossed he's impressive enough to earn a contract at the end of this.
Yeah, good luck, Adam.
Right, lads, thanks for coming in. Good luck on Saturday and the rest of the season.
Good luck, lads.
Cheers. Yeah. And I hope you enjoy an extra 30 minutes of football. This is Dave's predicting.
I'm never right, so don't worry.
Remember, you can listen to all our back catalogue, including the episode with Marty and Chris McKenna from a couple of seasons ago, at audioboom.com/channel/Manx Football. We're, of course, also on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Deezer, and Google Podcasts.
Well said, mate.
Until next week.
Bye for now.